In terms of in like terms, some kind of an association.
In terms of an association. I mean, in the Arab Americans, apparently there's, I don't know if there still is, but there was a Syrian church. Mm-hmm. And so that was the center of the culture. But the Atiyahs were all Episcopalian and did other stuff in other places.
Sure, sure.
So fascinating. And I found out from, there's been a couple of academic articles about Vic's home village. Mm. And it turns out that more than 20 people from that village came to Portland.
About the same time? Or
about the same time. The very first was his uncle. Well, not his uncle and his dad. His uncle was the first one to leave the village mm-hmm. in the 1880s. And then went back and got his dad in, like, 1900, 1903. And so they're mentioned in the article. Mm-hmm. But from talking to Vic's brother, there's no sense of, wow, everybody from Mar got together,
right.
had a party. So just trying to
That's interesting.
Take that down.
Because, you know, almost all immigrant cultures have some kind of locale, you know, the mm-hmm. Swedish American, the German American,
yeah.
you know, all
yeah.
of those guys, and to help foster, you know, the longevity of their traditions
yeah.
and some of their lifestyles, perhaps, you know,
yeah.
and relationships, but... that's interesting.
Yeah.
There isn't much going on there.
Yeah, there's not much going on, and I need to find out, is there something that they were ignoring, or did the group just never come together? Mm-hmm. I mean, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. In terms of your own immigrant experience, mm-hmm. were your parents born in...
No, my parents... Well, let me back up for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've been doing family research history, mostly on Dad's side,
mm-hmm.
for a number of years now, because... Mom's side, I have cousins back in Iowa, et cetera, and they've done extensive research. So a
mm-hmm.
lot of that is pretty much pretty well developed. So there wasn't anything going on Dad's side. And that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's really interesting because being the product of a biracial,
yeah.
you know, relationship, especially at that time period,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, it has its own set of, I don't know what you want, you can call them issues if you want.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But so, you know, you kind of identify, I mean, both sides are important to me, but you tend to identify strongly with one or the other. And
mm-hmm.
I think that for some reason I identify more strongly with Dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, my great-grandfather came from the Toisan area. Latter half of the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to track down an exact date yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's during the time of that initial migration out of southern China
yeah.
during the gold rush, et cetera.
Yeah.
So my great-grandfather settled, he was a Chinese merchant in the, what we call Old Chinatown, original part of Chinatown, which
so
is specifically south of Burnside. It was
okay.
a long second
yeah.
between Yamhillish, Morrisonish, somewhere
yeah.
around there. But come to find out through some of the research we're doing now is that it actually extended into the northwest too,
huh.
where there's a large, and actually, you know, a large not only Japanese presence, but Jewish presence
yeah.
As,
yeah.
as well as a couple of other groups.
Yeah.
So he came over, and then... he brought his eldest son over shortly after that to manage the store. It was
okay.
a Chinese general merchandise store.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a number of partners.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets back into, when you talk about partners in these Chinese businesses, that then hooks into the exclusion laws. It
right.
hooks into... issues with paper sons, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So with the history that, or the research I've been doing with Dad's family, you know, it's kind of my intention to put together, you know, his story, you know, publish that somehow
mm-hmm.
at some time.
Mm-hmm. So your dad is third generation.
Well, it depends on how you look at it, because here's what happened.
Uh-huh.
My great-grandfather had five sons.
Uh-huh.
Now... my grandfather was the youngest of the five.
Mm-hmm.
So he went back and forth, and I believe they all probably went back and forth,
mm-hmm.
as most did, because as merchants, they could come and go.
Right.
So
Beatias did the same thing.
In fact,
the uncle opened up a rug factory in Iran because tastes in the United States were different than traditional Oriental rugs.
Yeah, yeah.
We wanted more color and stuff. And so he opened up a rug factory in Iran to cater to the U.S. So what our concept of Oriental rugs, yeah, a lot of it is Uncle George.
You see?
It's just...
You know what's so funny? When you share a lot of this stuff with, I mean, there's some parallels between Vic's background, Dad's background, not just personally, but I mean culturally.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the parallel there for Dad is Chinese food. You know, they come over here and, hey, it's not the right flavor, so they add a little more of this or
right,
a little more of there, or take out some of this.
Yeah, yeah.
To acclimate it to, you know, an American palate.
Yeah.
So, let's see. My family on Dad's side came from the village of Longheng back in Toisan. And so in 1930, my grandfather went back. He had two wives.
Mm-hmm.
The first wife stayed in the village with some of the family members there to take care of the household, etc. His second wife, my grandmother, he brought along with Dad, who was born back in the village in 1925. See, they're 2 years apart.
Yeah.
I think Vic was born 23.
Yeah.
So he brought them over in 1930, December of 1930. They came over on the NYK line Hikawa Maru.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that information I found up in the archives up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So they lived down in Chinatown, and they lived under what was then the Rainier Hotel.
Okay.
One of the storefronts.
Yeah.
Now, that was down where the bus station is right
yeah.
now, the Greyhound bus station. And so the family lived in one of the storefronts, like many families in Chinatown had a Chinese lottery to help support the family. Let's see, Grandpa passed away early. So Dad, being the eldest on that side of the family, he then had three younger siblings. He became the head of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Lincoln High School for only the first term of the first year,
mm-hmm.
because then he had to go into, he went into the Oregon Shipbuilding Corporation Yards during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Building the Liberty ships.
Yeah.
So he spent the duration of the war there and then raising...
So your grandfather dies before World War One, before World
before
War II.
Before World War II.
So yeah, like yeah. freshman year of high school for your dad.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty
wow.
much.
So Vic's dad dies early, but not quite that early as well.
Okay, okay. See, so it's really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So after the war, then Dad... went to work for Similar Sporting Goods.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they were down on the corner of 3rd and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometime over the course of years, moved up to, I'd have to do some research into the directories to find out exactly when that was. But then they moved to block up on 4th and Washington,
mm-hmm.
where the, I forgot the name of the restaurant, it was a Greek restaurant, had the big octopus.
Yeah, exactly. The one, yeah. All the scaffolding just blew down.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The big wind we had like 10 days ago?
Yeah, yeah.
It took
yeah.
off the scaffolding off the side
is
of the
building. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm glad it wasn't there.
Exactly.
So, and then they closed in 66,
mm-hmm.
and then Dad opened his shop down on 3rd between Stark and Oak underneath Golden Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Cameron's Bookstore on mm-hmm. one corner, and then you have Portland Outdoor Store on the other corner.
Mm-hmm.
You have Chinese Art Studio in the middle.
Yeah.
So that's about when I was 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all cut our teeth down there. On Saturdays, you know, after school working and then they retired in 2002. But during his Similar years is when Vic was coming into Similars. That's where Dad and Vic got to know each other
mm-hmm.
and naturally shared their love of firearms and history of firearms. In fact, Vic, what was it? You probably know this. He started up the Oregon, what was it, Antique Firearms Club.
Yeah, it was basically
or something like
black
that.
Powder group.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So they shared that interest.
Yeah.
And you know, when Vic had his office downtown, you know, when Dad moved down to 3rd, Vic was a regular visitor, would always stop mm-hmm. by, visit with mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Vic was an avid fisherman too.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, they never went out together, you know, on any excursions or anything, mm-hmm. but I think it was more of, you know, the friendship was more built around the business.
Yeah.
And sharing, you know, the mutual interest in antique firearms
mm-hmm.
and classic firearms. Now, Mom, she, her parents, my grandparents on that side are... from Germany by way of the Volga River region of Russia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they immigrated into the East Coast, and then yeah. Mom was born in Minneapolis mm-hmm. on the way out here, and then that's where some of the cousins dropped off in Iowa. And
right.
They eventually settled over here. There's a little enclave of... Volga Germans over by Northeast, not somewhere around mm-hmm. there in that mm-hmm. neighborhood. And then they eventually, that family, the Schuffelbein family, eventually moved up to Northwest 16th, not mm-hmm. too far out of Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of their good neighbors were Chinese gals of Dad's age who grew up with Dad, and mm-hmm. and Mom is the eldest of nine, and she's still here, just turned 92 the other week.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they were looking for work during the war years, Penny Locke, who was a friend of Dad's and theirs, said, "Well, hey, I know of a couple of openings down in Chinatown, you know." So Mom and Aunt Dolores worked as waitresses at Hung Far Lo, you know, with mm-hmm. Bruce Wong, mm-hmm. and Mom worked at did a short stint at the Republic, the old
mm-hmm.
Republic,
mm-hmm.
and that's where she and Dad hooked up,
mm-hmm.
Because after he got out of the shipyards that night, he and his buddies would come into like the Bamboo Inn and have something to eat, you know, and she was working there for a little bit, and so that's how they got together.
Uh-huh. You got two famous immigrant rivers just going right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. All kind of flowing over in this direction,
exactly.
Right?
Wow.
So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah, yeah. So did you ever meet Vic when you were growing up?
Not in the early years.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get to meet him in the store environment.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. But I met him in later years. Now, you know, he has, because of his deep involvement with the Chinese as well as the Japanese, mm-hmm. He's always been, he'd always be, you know, invited to a lot of the New Year's dinners,
yeah.
the Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association dinners,
yeah.
Involved with the, you know, grand opening of the Chinatown Gate,
mm-hmm.
as well as, I brought these along. I thought, mm-hmm. no, you might have seen these because I worked for a very short period, a few years back, 3 or 4 years, with Suzanne
mm-hmm.
at A-Boy Supply for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out who she was at work, I gave her a set of these prints to give to her dad.
Great.
But this was back on the 25th anniversary
uh-huh.
of the Chinatown Gate.
Uh-huh.
Vic was invited, as well as some of the Chinatown elders. And the elders are all those guys from my dad's generation that grew up together.
Yeah.
But we were I was helping Dad down the sidewalk, and I hear this clap, clap, clap behind me, and I turn around, there's Vic. I said, "Governor Tia," you know, and turn around, and that's the first time. So I've got a couple
uh-huh.
of shots of them.
That's great.
I don't know if you saw these.
They're very familiar looking.
You might have, if you've been over to the house or, you know, his office or something, they may be in there.
Yeah. That's great.
And this was the event that they were invited to. Dad received that later in the mail. So that
uh-huh.
was
a
shot of a lot of the,
Yeah. Let me get that. Got glare issues. There we go.
Oh, yeah. You want me to hit the lights?
No, we're fine. Just have to put the glare on the wood.
Yeah. There you go.
That's great.
But these are a couple of my favorite shots because, yeah. I mean, you know.
These are just precious.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? I mean, the look on their faces the joy out of seeing each other again and the hand clasp and everything. So it's really kind of a.
That's a real typical Vic.
Yeah, isn't it?
Fantastic.
So that was really.
Now, do you know when Vic first got involved with the Chinese community? What I'm trying to figure out is, was it something he was just doing? Was it a function of when he started traveling to Asia a lot for economic development?
I don't know if I can answer that. I know he was involved in the sister state, sister city creations with, Taiwan.
That's all when he's governor.
Yeah.
Funky diplomacy there.
Yeah.
Real funky diplomacy, but it worked.
Yeah, no kidding. There may have been other activities that he was involved in before that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to hook you up with somebody else. I think one of the elders. Oh, I bet Mary Leong right here. She was pretty close to Vic. Mm-hmm. She might be able to give you some insight on that.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you ever want to hook up with her, let me know.
Yeah, as I get into it, I'm not sure how important this becomes, but it's really intriguing that he starts doing the international trade things, and he's not only working far away, he's working here with the communities to get them to buy into it and do things. And I don't know how important politically that is, but
yeah,
it's just a fascinating dynamic.
Yeah, it's an amazing chapter of that whole story.
Yeah.
The parallel again between, well, for instance, both these guys are, a couple of immigrant guys coming over and doing good.
Yeah. A little bit different. Vic is, his parents are born in Syria. He's born here.
Mm-hmm.
Forbidden basically to speak Arabic.
Yeah.
So didn't know anything. When he went to Syria, he discovered the six words he knew were not words that he should say. The typical thing.
Yeah, that's me with German, too.
I actually have a copy of one of his business cards from after he was governor.
Uh-huh.
And it's Arabic on one side, and I'm the first person who's actually read it. I read Arabic.
Oh, that's
he said,
cool.
Yeah, that's actually what it says.
Yeah.
It does say that you're not governor, you're called the Rais, which is the leader.
That's neat.
But, just fascinating. I just talked with somebody earlier this week who was talking about, Vic had a real, in fact, that's another dynamic that may be playing here. Vic had a real problematic relationship with the Portland business community. The Atiyah brothers had been here for, decades.
Forever, yeah.
But he was never accepted kind of in the middle of the big things there. Mm-hmm. And he expressed it to me as, how come there's a NATO parkway, whereas my brothers did all these things and there's no Atiyah parkway?
Right.
And so, is that a dynamic of kind of with the outsider groups?
Right.
Is it a dynamic of whatever? When he becomes governor, the business community comes and says, great, you're our business guy. You do this, that, and the other. And he basically said, I'm doing what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Thanks for dropping by.
Yeah. It's
so the dynamics are just fascinating.
Well, I'll tell you, and I know you're recording this, but this is kind of between you and me. But it's no wonder that these guys got along. They shared, their views were so similar in terms of, for instance, Second Amendment rights, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
Dad was not, I say he was an extremely successful man. He's extremely successful at raising a family under tough conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically no high school education, had to go to work. Once he... once Chinese were able to own land, then they started migrating out into the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So once Dad got married, started raising a family, and was able to acquire property outside of Chinatown, he brought Grandma and his two younger siblings
mm-hmm.
to live with us. And, you know, that uncle and auntie were, you know, with us while they were going to school and went on, you know, one became a PhD down at University of Southern California in Davis. Is that something like
mm-hmm.
that? She she taught Chinese American history, and then Uncle Benny became a physician
mm-hmm.
In the U.S. Army. So you know, he helped to raise that family, and he was the kind of guy that finances did not figure prominently with that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
There was always something to, you know.
Yeah.
So, in the cultures, in the Chinese culture, like for instance, in the association here or other associations, you see large photographs of, you know, all these
mm-hmm.
people. And a lot of them are, you know, rightly important individuals. But a lot of times it depends on how much you give financially.
Well, yeah.
If you give $1,000, you know, you can have this
yeah.
big of a picture. And
yeah.
You know, and that kind of rubbed against the grain.
Yeah.
He was always committed and involved in, he'd be hit up regularly for, you know, donations for this and that.
Right.
And always gave, and during the picnics every year would order things through the shop, you know, for
yeah.
the kids, for door prizes, things like that. But he always said he preferred to be the guy in the back,
yeah.
the guy in the background. You know, so, and he, you know, didn't. So you don't get, you get not necessarily shunned, but, you know, you don't,
mm-hmm.
you're not really a part of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless perhaps, you know, something, you become, like in Vic's case, you know, you acquire a position where you're able to help somebody out,
mm-hmm.
you know, where somebody else can benefit from
mm-hmm.
it. So, now I think they had, really, really similar views in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Fascinating dynamics.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me about Vic's involvement with the cemetery.
Lone Fir. Well, that stems from the, his past experience with, the Chinese community.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably know the history behind, you know, the Chinese
mm-hmm.
cemetery up there at Lone Fir,
mm-hmm.
so I won't go into that. But we thought, in developing the board, we also wanted an advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara Roberts and Vic, they were both at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of funny because Mary will probably tell you this story. We, three of us went down to his office. We set up an appointment with
mm-hmm.
him to go down, and he was familiar with the Chinese cemetery, and we talked to him for a while. Had a great visit, and asked him if he would honor us by joining our advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, kind of, I think, typical Vic, he said, "Well, can I think about it?" We said, "Well, sure." He said, "Okay, I'll do it." Just, you know, that sense of humor.
Yeah.
Right? So, he just he bought into it up front, and he was a fantastic spokesman for us at some of our, you know,
mm-hmm.
events, and spoke of his relationship with the Chinese community
mm-hmm.
quite a bit, and helped give us a lot of direction
mm-hmm.
in terms
mm-hmm.
of, you know, who we should be talking to,
mm-hmm.
who we should maybe look at inviting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he was a. It was great to have him on board.
Mm-hmm. And how long was he on?
Do I want to say 2 years?
Okay.
Maybe a couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah, Mary will, but you know,
yeah.
She'll be able to give you here. I brought this. This was put together before Vic came on board, but that's a brochure that the first one we had printed up a number of years ago, just for some background information. And again, that's before we brought Vic on.
So, I mean, as you got him on the board, he was asked to be on so many boards.
Oh, I bet he was.
Just tons and tons and tons.
That's one thing we had discussed.
By the early 90s, he's beginning to try to figure out ways to say no to people.
Mm.
I'm not sure if he was successful, because he's not very good at saying no at all.
Right, right. I can imagine that.
But so you're saying when he was on, he was a real active member.
Yeah, he would
engaging.
Yeah, he. we had several functions that we invited him to, and he'd always show up. I remember one of them. I picked him up and took him back home afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
We had one function over, actually, in the cemetery, an evening, and another function up at the forestry center, and he was always open to that. And it's funny because one over at the cemetery, I was, you know, after he was through, he was with his talk, he was heading out.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the program was still going on, and I was going to walk him back to his car. But he'd hear nothing of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he was like, "Dad," he says, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. You just go ahead." You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was active in that respect. And anytime we needed, again, some direction or whatever, he was always accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary had a good working relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
and so I hope you're able to hook up with her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get a little more background and detail.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. One of his closest staff members, one of her favorite pictures of him that kind of symbolizes for her like his last 5 or 10 years,
mm-hmm.
is because the walking back to the car thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he would never. Yeah, you don't walk him back to the car.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do that.
Right.
There's a great picture of him walking, and he would always be quiet. He was always quiet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he had his hands behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
And he had on his vest. He was walking through a parking lot. And she has a picture of that.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
That's him in the 10 years of his life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because by God, he was going to drive.
That's right.
And there you go.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was cutting down on. I mean, you know, when you describe that, you can just visualize him,
mm-hmm.
you know, with his hands behind his back like mm-hmm. that. You know, that's how he was at the functions. You know, he's just standing there talking like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a very, very neutral, very open.
Yeah.
You know, kind of gesture.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the kind of guy he was.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
So anything else?
Not really.
Okay, that's good.
Not really. I'm afraid I can't give you much more, you know.
No, this is good. It's given me a great insight into your dad, that immigrant experience,
mm-hmm.
but also them and guns. And the guns, I mean, it's funny with the guns because,
mm-hmm.
He gave everything to Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And Pacific, not so subtly and subtly, said, "We don't need the guns."
Oh, really? Oh,
I think we may end up with one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not even sure of that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Vic was fine with that because
sure.
you want them to go places where they're going to be appreciated.
That's right. That's right.
But the gun thing is just fascinating because he was a gun person who wasn't a hunter.
Yeah.
So for him, the Second Amendment is about the right to have these things.
Right.
But I'm not really going to do anything with them except shoot at targets occasionally. And I just like him.
Yeah.
Just like him.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with fishing, he was, you know, he was an avid fisherman.
Sure.
You know, all these kinds of things, this, that, and the other. But the guns are a real fascinating thing, and I'm not sure what it says about him, except that he liked to collect things.
Yeah.
But there's it's a very different thing. And one thing, talking to him, he knows the NRA changed.
Yeah.
But he... I was never able to peg him down. I don't know if you remember, early 90s, late 90s, former President Bush the Elder actually stopping an NRA member.
Oh.
I think it's about the time Charlton Heston held up the thing and said, pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Right.
He said, this isn't what the NRA is about.
Yeah.
And Vic never left the NRA, and I was never able to ask him.
He was a lifelong member.
Yeah, he's a lifelong member.
Yeah.
He was in ads in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a member. I'm the NRA.
That one right
there. Yep, exactly.
82, yeah.
Yep.
But that's one of my favorite shots of him there, too. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just a fascinating
part of him. Well, you know, his whole thing is like dad's, you know. Dad always says, he says, you know, it's my right to have these.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not out there harming anybody.
Yeah.
You know, Dad enjoyed bird hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he and his buddies would, you know, go out pheasant hunting or pigeon hunting over the years, and he was an avid fisherman, too. And but you know, and that's some of my favorite memories. I never became a hunter. If I had to, I could do it, but, you know, given the choice, I'd rather not. But I always enjoyed going with Dad. I mean, you know, part of it is him waking up early in the morning, it's still dark, and you know, you're going out and it's colder than heck and it's wet out there, and you know, but we had a great time. You know, he'd always make a thermos coffee for himself, thermos hot chocolate for us, you know, and some great sandwiches, and we just go out there, have a good time. And part of the fun for me was watching him interact and visit with his buddies. He never catered. He refused to cater to the Saturday night special crowd.
Yeah.
Okay. He always high end collectible. Most of his clientele, you know, Vic, doctors and lawyers, and you know, guys who were into the high end collectible shotguns, things like that.
Yeah.
Every summer, you know, we'd go out to Maupin, you know, and just take along some tin cans or some targets and just plink away.
Yeah.
You know, and that in later years became the extent of it. But, you know, he felt the same thing, you know. I have a right to, you know, own this, and I'm not out there hurting anybody. So, you know, their whole belief system kind of, you know, follows that path.
And, yeah. Just as you're saying that, one thing I'll be looking to see if there's research. So with these immigrant groups, does the NRA, you know, does gun ownership play a role? Fascinating to see, you know, is it embracing an American thing? Is it a...
For these immigrant groups?
Yeah, yeah. Is it a...
You know what?
We watch a lot of movies, and that represents America.
I'd probably have to say yeah. Because
so it's, you know, there's just I have no idea if it's true, but I sense an interesting dynamic here.
Well, a lot of it, yes, to answer that question, you were throwing out some, you know, could it be this, could it be that, and also a love of history.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Dad
absolutely.
Loved reading history, especially World War II.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable about that. Very knowledgeable about, I mean, just extremely knowledgeable about firearms, history, et cetera, et cetera. But part of it comes through a love of history, and in particular, particularly the history of this country, the early years, the Wild West. Okay, Dad grew up during a time, as did Vic, when, you know, John Wayne, you know, Alan Ladd, and loved all the Westerns, and, you know, we as kids grew up, you know, cowboys and Indians, we all had that, you know.
Yeah.
And, in fact, it's funny because I'm getting together with another friend of mine, a Japanese guy who lives in Southwest Portland, not too far from A-Boy, good customer of ours, come to find out, he was working for a federal agency downtown when he was during his career. Come to find out, we were talking about, you know, family background and everything. He was a longtime customer of Dad's.
Huh.
And avid, you know, firearm collector.
Yeah.
And he has the same thing. Grew up during the same time period I did with
mm-hmm.
then the TV shows that
right.
we grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, Half Gun Will Travel, The Rifleman, The Virginian,
yeah.
all those guys, you know. And how that plays into American history. So he wanted me to get together with him next week to show off his collection. So yeah, is it you know, I'm sure a lot of it is a fascination with, you know, the early American West
mm-hmm.
and that whole I guess spirit that firearms played a part of
yeah.
during that time.
Yeah.
And also the Hollywood image of
mm-hmm.
Of those times too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the history when you said that resonates. I just coming back from California. I brought back. They're made out of metal, but they look like they're ivory scrimshaw. So they're tusks.
Oh.
And Vic bought them as ivory scrimshaw in Syria. And so they've got, there's an Abraham Lincoln and an American flag. Looks like old, you know, 19th century stuff.
Okay.
And very proud. He had them in his office when he got back in Salem. And one of the people on the trip she was on part of the trip. And as she was flying back, she read in Time magazine about the fake scrimshaw that sold all over Israel and Syria.
Mm.
And lo and behold, that's what it was.
Oh, really?
And so she's, you know, everybody's got to be honest with the boss. You go into the boss and say, Governor. And he kept them.
Yeah, sure.
But years later, then they would meet for lunch all the time. And he presented them to her. And so she's had these now. And she just gave them to me, so I'm going to take them to America.
Cool. Oh, cool.
But it's the love of history is what,
yeah.
you know, look at this.
Yeah.
You know, look at what this has done and the Americana on it and all those things.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, I mean, you know, whether they're authentic or not, it's a part of the history that they played in his life.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And there's a story there. I mean,
yeah.
they're all kind of like, you know, props
yeah.
to the story of this individual.
Yeah.
You know, just as things Dad has handed down to us, you know. They might be significant to others, or some, you know, or you know, somebody else. It's what do you want to hang on to that for? But it's the part that it plays
right.
in telling a particular chapter of this story.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories that Dad always shared with us was when we were kids. My grandmother, my grandparents on Mom's side. Had a farm down in McMinnville.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times on the weekends we go down there to visit
mm-hmm.
or during summer vacation, you know,
mm-hmm.
we got to stay down there for maybe a week or something. Dad would come down again. So his favorite thing was, one of his favorite possessions was his George Lawrence holster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because when he opened the store, for a lot of years, George Lawrence was still in business, or
mm-hmm.
the Marine Supply was in business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got to know a lot of those folks.
Yeah.
We'd be running errands back and forth there.
Yeah.
And I actually worked for a summer vacation at Oregon Marine Supply when they were down there. But he had his George Lawrence holster, and
mm-hmm.
he had his Colt Single Action Army
mm-hmm.
.45. And so he took that out one time, and he's trying to practice a quick draw. Because he knew a good friend and customer of his was Arvo Ayala,
mm-hmm.
who was, do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so he had shown him a few things, so he was going to try. You know, once he
mm-hmm.
got to get out there to, you know, grandma's might go out in the backfield there, and I'll practice this quick draw. Well, he pulled it a couple of times, and one time his thumb slipped off the hammer, and let go around that hit right in front of his toe, right in front of him. He said, well, after that, I just kind of put it away and didn't do that again.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Southern Oregon, and at one point the police chief of Little Jacksonville, Oregon, shot himself in the foot.
Oh, ooh.
And he was
that's a painful lesson.
Kind of a jerk anyway. It's like, ah, good. He deserved that.
Okay, good. What goes around comes around.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Great. No, this is wonderful. Yeah. And it gives me I'm going to talk to Vic's older brother, Ed, next week. I've already talked to him, but I have more questions. And following up on some of this will be really fun.
Yeah.
Are the other Atiyah brothers, were they also into guns, or was it just Vic? You know, how did that, just to try to chase it down.
Sure. So, and how about his son? Was it Tom?
Tom, yeah.
Yeah, because it sounds like Tom was, I never got to meet Tom. And I wasn't able to hook up with him at the memorial to introduce myself. But it sounded like he was into fishing, too.
Yeah, he's definitely the fisherman. Yeah. Something that would be right up your alley, he married a woman. She's an American, Anglo, but she speaks Chinese.
Oh, is that right?
So his business, he's not with the Atiyah brothers. He's got his own business, which is Chinese carpets.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And so it's the Atiyah-ish stuff.
But different flavor.
Different flavor, and he married someone who speaks Chinese, and off they go.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's really, really neat to see that come together.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of echoes a relationship here, too. I mean, you know, there's a traditional Chinese story of the red thread of fate, which says that basically we're all connected by this red thread. You know, we may think that we're just out there, you know, each man is an island kind of thing, you know, but we're actually all connected in some way.
Yeah,
and that's really interesting that that was the path that he followed.
Yeah,
I hope to hook up with him sometime and at least introduce myself. But what did happen to eventually Vic's gun collection?
Did it go to
a museum?
No, it was basically other collectors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, he had. By the time he was talking to us, he only had like 5 or 6.
Oh, did he? Okay,
yeah.
So
and
he must
had
have,
hundreds.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So he must.
So he was finding collectors.
Okay, that's cool. I was kind of hoping there might be some, you know, depository somewhere, you know, where they could be viewed as a collection or something like this. So, but at least they went to good homes where they're appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. Yep.
So they're scattered about, and
yeah.
Part of their provenance, you can read, oh, look, the governor of Oregon had this one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, great. This is wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This is all eventually going to go in the archives.